All right. Hey, good evening. Great to see you tonight. How you doing? You in for an awesome evening? It's going to be incredible. So glad that you are here. Couple quick announcements. Next Wednesday night, we have a special guest as well. Pastor Tony Clark is going to be with us. And Tony is always just a blast. So really want to encourage you to come out, and Tony's going to bring a great word for us, and he's a longtime Calvary Vista guy, was part of our staff, and pastors now a church in Virginia, and God is just using him in incredible ways. How many of you hear Tony on the radio? Okay, it's awesome. That's great. And then tonight, when you came in, you should have received a missions report. We have Wednesday night, we have a missions report, and we receive a missions offering, and our missions report, it's only fitting tonight that it happened to be from Pastor Kyle Eckert, who is the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Szeged, Hungary, and that's where these guys are from. They are from Hungary. So I want to encourage you to make sure and read that, and there's a few things on there that Kyle really asked us to pray for, and as these guys begin in a few minutes, the men are going to come forward, and we're going to receive our missions offering tonight. But I want to just begin with a word of prayer, so let's all pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Lord, we thank you for these friends that are with us here tonight who have traveled a long way, and Lord, it's just so awesome to have them here. Father, I've just had the chance to be there in their church so many times, and it's just great to have them here. Lord, we pray that your grace and your spirit would just be all over this evening, Lord, that you would touch hearts and that you would meet us here in a special way. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you please give a very warm welcome to the worship team from Calvary Chapel Budapest?
On March 5, 1946, British Prime Minister Sir Winston Churchill was visiting the United States. He was invited to speak at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, where he declared to the world for the first time what the new Soviet occupation really meant across Eastern Europe. Let's listen into the words of Sir Winston Churchill.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. Warsaw, Berlin, Prague, Budapest. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere.
Hungary became an unwilling border country in what history calls the Iron Curtain. On October 23, 1956, students and workers took to the streets of Budapest and issued their 16 points, which included personal freedom, more food, the removal of the secret police, and the removal of Soviet control. 8 days later, on October 31st, Prime Minister Imre Nagy announced his intentions for Hungary to have a free elections. He asked the United Nations and America to recognize Hungary. The people rose up against Soviet oppression, but the revolution was short-lived. Beginning on November 4th, the Soviets lashed back with a crippling blow. Over 30,000 were killed, and hundreds of thousands fled the nation. The millions who stayed faced the harsh laws of the communist regime. In 1957, Time magazine honored the Hungarian revolutionary as their Man of the Year. For 40 hard years, the communist experiment continued, and the phrase goulash communism came to be. The name is meant to be a funny metaphor derived from goulash, the most popular Hungarian dish. As it is made with an assortment of unlikely ingredients, it represents how Hungarian communism was a mixed ideology, no longer strictly adhering to Marxist interpretation as in the past. Sometimes Hungary is described as the happiest barrack in the socialist camp.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings. Reporting tonight from Berlin.
From the Berlin Wall specifically, take a look at them. They've been there since last night. They are here in the thousands. They are here in the tens of thousands. Occasionally they shout, "Die Mauer muss weg," the wall must go. Thousands and thousands of West Germans come to make the point that the wall has suddenly become irrelevant. Something, as you can see, almost a party on. How do you measure such an astonishing moment in history?
Hungary soon emerged from its ashes as a democracy. It was time for a nation to rebuild its identity, and from a political standpoint, this has been a success. Hungary has had peaceful elections since the fall of the Soviet Union, but political change does not magically dissolve darkness. Beneath the veneer of political transformation, a people still struggled with all the symptoms of the spiritually sick. In 2012, Hungary had the sixth highest rate of suicide in the world, half what it was in 1984, the highest recorded percentage ever. Hungary rates in the top 10 nations in terms of the number of abortions performed each year, sometimes as high as 43 abortions per 100 births. In 2003, across Eastern Europe, there was 103 abortions to 100 live births. But our night tonight is not going to simply be about, you know, facts and numbers and statistics. We want to be able to share our own story, and we want to introduce to you some people whose stories I think will encourage and inspire you. Let's watch the screens again.
Under communism, we never really heard of or cared about God. Sometimes my mom would mention God at home, but he was never to be spoken of out of the house, and especially not in school.
Egy olyan családban nőttem föl, ahol Istent egyáltalán nem ismertek.
Growing up, my family didn't believe in God. My father was a secretary in the Communist Party, so we weren't allowed to set foot in a church. For a long time, out of faith in God was a waste of time.
Addig valóban olyan voltam, mint egy kivert kóborkutya.
My life had no purpose or meaning. I felt like a stray dog aimlessly wandering. At one point, I got in a car accident and was imprisoned. I was homeless for a while and also developed a drinking problem. My life was hopeless and filthy without God.
I was a sad person looking for happiness. I turned to alcohol, drugs, and gambling. I was living a lie. I thought being a Christian would be the greatest shame of all, and it would be a nightmare to live a Christian life. I put on an act, yet inside I felt dead. I was so scared of what would happen when I die.
I was a Bible college student from 2003 until 2005. I was also involved in the ministry, but I still had sin in my life. I was in bondage of pornography. And in 2006, Satan used this hidden sin in my life to draw me away from God. So I turned my back to God. I totally gave myself over to watching pornography, going to prostitutes, and I thought that I didn't have any hope. I was a selfish person, and I was convinced that I was going to hell, and I had no hope. And I was just waiting for Jesus' return and his righteous judgment upon me.
I lived and worked in Budapest in my mid-20s. I got into an unhealthy relationship that left me increasingly depressed. I knew it was destroying me, but I didn't have the strength to handle it alone. I started trying all sorts of horrid things to take my own life. One day, I cut my wrists. My mom had a horrible feeling that day, so my parents drove 100 miles to Budapest, only to find me bleeding to death.
1989 was a watershed year for Eastern Europe. The wall fell down and opportunities were abounding. It was also the year when there was a conference happening in Austria, where pastors from the West and pastors from the East were at this conference together. And it was there at this conference that a pastor from the former Yugoslavia, today Serbia, met with Pastor Brian Broderson of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And this young pastor asked Brian, would you be willing to come over to our country and bring and teach the Bible the way that you guys are doing here at this conference? And Brian said, yeah, you know, maybe. Here's my phone number, you know, let's just see what happens. A week later, that guy called and he said, when are you coming? And he was ready. He was excited about it. And so, you know, a team was put together. And if you didn't know this, but your pastor, Pastor Rob Salvato, was a part of that very first team that went over to Eastern Europe. And for that, we're very, very grateful. A group of them got together and they weren't really sure what the plan was. What are they going to be doing? How's it going to work out? But a motto was kind of adopted. Let's just go see what the Lord's going to do. And they ended up in many small villages originally in Serbia, visiting very traditional churches. I know they brought over a rock group. They brought over a Christian rock band. And they're playing in these very traditional churches with just a few people in those churches. And there was a great disconnect happening. It wasn't connecting yet. And so the team kind of was wondering, is there any big city nearby? Is there anywhere we could go and maybe be able to, you know, reach out to some of the younger people? This pastor said, yeah, there's a big city nearby. It's a city called Subotica. And so the team went to Subotica and they were able to play music. They were able to share the gospel. They went to a little square in Subotica. It's called the Monkey Place. And the Monkey Place is where, and it still is, where all the young people would hang out. So they went to the Monkey Place, they're playing music, they're able to share the gospel, and some young people were responding to the message of the gospel. In truth, this was the beginning for many of them to ever have heard the gospel. For many of them, they had never had the opportunity until that moment. And so young people are responding to the message of the gospel. The team, the time had come for the team to return back to America. And a promise was made that somebody would come back here within 30 days. Somebody would come back and continue to help them to grow in their relationship with God, to continue to preach the gospel. 30 days later, a young man left Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa named Mike Harris, and he went to Subotica, former Yugoslavia, today Serbia. A few months later, Greg Opin and Rod Thompson left from California and went to Baja, Hungary, where the work began in the country of Hungary. And they were there just as they had been promised that somebody would come. They came, they began to preach the gospel. Young people began to respond to the message of the gospel. And this was the very beginning of our story of grace.
songs. Join with us tonight as the body of Christ as we worship together. Amen.
The ministry began in Serbia in a town called Subotica, but it began in a city in Hungary called Baja. Now, if you were to see the word Baja written out, you would say Baja. But it's not Baja, it's Baja. And as I said before, it was two men, Greg Opin and Rod Thompson, who were at the castle in Austria with the Boschas. You guys know the Boschas, of course, yeah, okay. Who we love so much. And they sent them out to this little town, not Baja, but Baja, Hungary. Baja in Hungarian means his problem. Yeah. It's good we didn't know what it meant when we first went there. In fact, the city symbol of Baja is Adam and Eve and the serpent. That's actually the town symbol. Yeah, go figure, huh? The reason I'm saying that is to simply say that I think if you were to be strategic about where to go, where to start, Baja would not be on your list. But whenever God is going to do a work of grace, the backdrop plays as much of a part of the story as anything else will. And so these guys went over, Greg and Rod, they go to the city of Baja. Our plan was we were working with the Baptist church there in Hungary. There's a great relationship past, and there is still an incredible relationship that we have with the Baptist church, as well as many, if not most, of the Christian churches in Hungary. An incredible dynamic and connection that happens there. But it was a particular Baptist pastor in the city of Baja who had a real heart to reach out to his community. And in fact, he just 3 years ago went home to be with the Lord. But he just had a passion to see young people know Christ. So he invited some Calvary guys to come over and to help him out. The deal was this: Greg and Rod would teach his kids English, and in exchange, they would get Hungarian food. And so if you know Greg and Rod, you know they love food. Food is a big part of life there. So they were being introduced to all these amazing Hungarian dishes, and in exchange, their kids were learning English. And they began to learn different Hungarian words and Hungarian phrases. At nighttime, they would go out onto the streets of this small town and preach the gospel. And usually what would happen is this. It's a small town. People would come up to them and say, "Hey, are you the Americans living in our town?" They already knew the answer because they could tell by the shoes and all who they were. But they we're the Americans. And they would have opportunities to share the gospel. People were getting saved. A lot of young people were getting saved. And the result of that was that they were coming into this church, which was a great church, but not a friction is a strong word, but you get the idea there, where here's these new believers who have no church background at all, and they're coming into a more traditional type of a church. The pastor of that church had the wisdom to see that this could be detrimental rather than a great blessing. And so he called Greg and Rod aside and he said, "Hey guys, it's time for you to start your own church." At that time, the thought hadn't entered anybody's mind. Let's just work with these guys. They're doing a great work. Let's stay connected to them. And this pastor said, "Hey, let's stay connected. But it's time for you guys to step out, because people are coming and getting saved who may not fit into our background. And that's okay." And he had great wisdom. And he said, "So it's time for you to start your own church." And so Greg starts thinking, "Okay, let's Calvary Chapel, that should be the name of our church." So they started to translate Calvary Chapel. And the problem with the name Calvary Chapel in Hungarian is that it translates into funeral home. So listen, if any of you go out to start a church, make sure that the name does not translate into funeral home, okay? And the Baptist pastor heard this and he said, "No, no, 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 no. You can't call it that." And he explained what it meant. And of course, everybody said, "That's a really good idea to not call it that." And he said, "You should call it Golgotha," where we would say Golgotha, the place of the skull. And so our movement now in Hungary is called Golgotha. And so these guys are beginning a new church, a new work, and they're going out on the streets, and people who have no church background are getting saved. But we also saw very early on people who had maybe a kind of a mixed up understanding of what Christianity was. maybe because of the, before the fall of the curtain, just a misunderstanding of what is Christianity. Many of them were finding a home in this new thing called Golgotha. And I want to introduce a few of those people to you. So let's watch the screens.
It was the war in Serbia that first brought me to Hungary. I started looking for a Christian fellowship, and a friend reminded me that Greg Opin was living in Estagon. Greg and I had met in Serbia 5 years earlier, and I couldn't believe that he still remembered my name. That had such an impact on me. Because of his love for me, I started attending their fellowship.
I met Calvary Chapel missionaries from California in the summer of 1991, and my life changed. I didn't speak any English, and they had only learned a few words in Hungarian. But the words they learned really impacted me. They told me Jesus loved me in my own mother tongue.
A húgom azt mondta, hogy gyere el a Golgotába.
My sister invited me to Calvary Budapest. Greg Opin was teaching, and I instantly felt I was at the right place. I loved the way this church was teaching the Bible and worshiping God.
When I first came into contact with Calvary and Greg Opin, I realized that God didn't send his son for the good and the healthy only. God had prepared a place for me too. It was and is this balance of God's word and love that has inspired us to want to live lives pleasing to God. And for that, we are thankful.
When I started university in September 1998, in my freshman year, I signed up for a language practice course, and it was taught by a lovely lady, Jennifer Opin, and she's the wife of Greg Opin, who at that time was pastoring Calvary Budapest. And there was something about Jennifer that was very special, and it was drawing me to God, as I came to understand later on.
I expected just religious people saying things about God and acting in a certain way and expecting the same thing from me. But instead of that, I saw a joy, I saw love, I saw freedom, and I realized that God was so much different than what I used to think about him.
When I first walked into Calvary about 15 years ago, I instantly felt like home. I didn't know that a church could feel like that. I was deeply touched by the atmosphere of openness and love. I met people who have a genuine faith in God, and they have since become true and faithful friends.
We are from Pakistan, and we are Christian from Pakistan.
We left Pakistan 2005, and as a refugee, we came here. And since we came to Hungary, we started the refugee ministry in the camp. And also there was a time when the Calvary Church also, they have a refugee ministry over there.
I started attending Calvary Budapest 3 years ago while I was on temporary leave from prison. I was so entirely grateful for this place. I have met my wife here, God's greatest gift to me. Every year the church has a little dinner on Christmas Eve for those people who don't have family to go to. This is where I met my wife. We got engaged on Easter, and this last Christmas Eve we had our wedding at the church.
Most már nagyon örülök, hogy nem sikerült.
6 years ago, I attempted suicide. Looking back, I am so glad that I did not succeed. Everything I was believing and feeling were lies. Today, I have a husband and a baby, and we are living a fulfilled life. I no longer live in Budapest, but I keep in touch with friends, and I listen to the teachings online. I will always cherish Calvary Budapest in my heart.
We came over from another church. For a long time, we had been searching for a loving fellowship where God's word was preached clearly and entirely. We are thankful how God has brought us to this church. My family has been greatly benefiting here, growing in the knowledge of the Lord.
From the very beginning, a principle began to play out, and it still continues to play out, and that is this idea of learning how to present the gospel and to present Christianity in a way that that gets rid of all of the cultural contexts. It's definitely one of the greatest privileges that those of us that have left our own culture and gone to another culture have experienced, because we don't realize how often we can connect our own cultural ideas to the message of the gospel. And it doesn't work when you go to another country and you try to, you know, this is what Jesus thinks and this is what Jesus says, and you stop and you think, wait a minute, is that an American thing or is that a Bible thing? And it's an incredible freedom. It's an incredible freedom when we can get all of that stuff just kind of cut out and washed away from our lives, and we learn to just bring the real message of the gospel. None of the cultural things that can kind of get attached to it. And I count that as a great privilege to have been forced into learning how to communicate the gospel and nothing else. To communicate Jesus and none of the other things that maybe I've connected to it as a part of my religious experience. It's a huge blessing, and maybe you've had the opportunity to share with somebody from another culture. It's important that we learn how to get rid of all those other trappings, because it's the gospel that is the power of God to transform lives. Amen? It's the gospel. It's not my culture. It's the gospel that is the power of God. It's the gospel. It's nothing else. It's nothing more, and it's nothing less.
Perfect sacrifice. resurrected King of glory, now ascended, coming for me. Hallelujah, he has conquered, death is beaten by his power.
Transform us even. I want to introduce a couple of guys to you whose stories are going to inspire you and encourage you. Let's watch the screens once again.
Korán elvesztettem az édesapámat, óvodás koromban.
I lost my father very early in life, and by the time I was 17, all I cared about was partying and skateboarding. They were my gods. I had never attended church, but the summer I met some Christians from the States who were skateboarding. They didn't speak Hungarian, and I didn't speak English, but we all loved skateboards. I tried to ask them why they were here, and they tried to explain. My friends spoke a little English, and we understood that they were inviting us to a Bible study. These seemed like cool guys, so I went, and that is where I surrendered my life to Christ. There was something special about these guys. They loved skateboarding just as much as I did, but they also knew Christ, and there was love in their hearts. Skateboarding wasn't an idol for them, like it was for me. After I got saved, my priorities started to change too. I was growing in the Lord and getting involved in the worship. Eventually, I would take over as the pastor of my home church. Later, the Lord called my wife and I to start new churches in other cities. We have been a part of 4 different church plants across Hungary. Recently, God called me to be one of the pastors at Calvary Budapest. My greatest desire is to see new churches spring to life. One of my main ministries is to regularly visit existing churches and encourage pastors and the people. It is amazing to me that God would reach out to a young person who had no purpose in life and completely transform him. Because of Jesus, I have a beautiful family, a lovely wife and 3 kids, and I have the chance to minister at this great church. I am blessed beyond measure.
Parts of my family in Orange County in California, and I've been there many times, and 8 years ago I got saved there in the Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, and I came home, and I find Golgotha Budapest here in Hungary. I met with a girl over there, and after a year, she became my wife. She's Noemi. And after a few years, we got a beautiful little girl from God. She's called Lella. And we had a few beautiful years together. And after the second pregnancy, my wife got a cancer, and the second baby is a little boy called Armin. He's right now 2 years old, and after two tough years, my wife, in the beginning of this year, passed away to the Lord, and she's right now in the best place right now. We are so thankful about this few years what we had together. She was the best wife, and she was the best mother. And I know there's a grace in salvation, but there's a grace in the pain too.
I hope you caught his last sentence there. That's our friend Gabor. He's 34 years old. And he said that it's really profound. There's grace in salvation, but there's also grace in pain. And when we talk about grace, we often, and rightly so, we think about salvation. We think about the role that it has in you and I being able to come to Christ. But we often just stop right there. And we forget that there's grace in every circumstance, in every situation of our lives, good or bad. And right now, Gabor, our friend, is experiencing a grace from God that, you know, as he walks through his own hell right now. And You know, when we talk about grace, it's important that we're clear on our own definitions. When we say grace, we're speaking about an undeserved kindness by God towards us. For no other reason than God is amazing. He loves us. And there's kindness, undeserved. There's grace for each one of us. You know, even on our own team, as we were, you know, planning this and preparing for this and praying, our bass player had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma a while ago. But he was in remission and doing very well, him and his wife, who was a violin player. And 2 weeks before we were coming here, the cancer came back real strong, so strong that he's unable to come with us, in such a degree that he's having to be put into the hospital in the next few days. Another one of our pastors, who's 34 years old, he's been given just about 3 more days to live from liver cancer. My point isn't to say that, you know, the reality is this, that there's a lot of sad and horrible stories out there in the world today. I know you have your own as well. And when we're talking about this story of grace that God has been doing in Eastern Europe, we don't want anybody for one sense to be mistaken to think that some people went over, good things happened, great things happened, better things, better things, better things. There's been a lot of hard things along the way too. But in any story of God's grace, there's grace through the valleys as well. And we ought never to forget that in our own lives. And I think that most of us, and maybe this is something you've struggled with, the idea that why has God allowed the situation to come into your life? Why is this happening? Where is God when you've needed him? The exhortation that we can bring to you today is that there's grace. There's grace. There's grace through the trials. There's grace through the pain. Maybe you can accept that, but I think an area that a lot of people have a hard time accepting is not if is there grace when bad things happen to me, but what about when I am the bad thing that's happening to me? What do I do when I'm the problem? I totally accept that if something bad happens to me, God will be gracious. I get it. But what about when I'm the bad thing? But what does the Bible say? Where sin abounds, grace does what? It abounds more. Friends, there's grace for you and I. This is the story that we wanted to bring to you. It's something that we're experiencing there, and we know that you know about, and it's our opportunity to exhort and to remind you about. There's grace, even if you are the problem. Maybe you've been going through a problem. There's grace. Maybe you are the problem. There's grace. And what I'd like to do before we move forward is I want to take an opportunity to pray for you. Because And maybe, who knows, that if you're not here tonight to hear a whole bunch of us Hungarians to come and talk to you about God's great and amazing grace. Friends, maybe you've allowed the circumstances of your life to not only overwhelm you, but to stop you from accepting and receiving God's graciousness. Maybe you've allowed the cancer or the death or the trial to become a point of blocking you from receiving God's undeserved kindness. And we want to pray for you tonight. Maybe you are the problem. Maybe you are the blockage. And we want to pray for you tonight that you would allow God and his grace to come and to overwhelm you with his forgiveness, with his love, and with his kindness upon you. Maybe tonight's the night where you get that set straight again. Maybe you don't just kind of see this as a show with some nice music and all, but you let God touch you tonight. Because ultimately, that's what God's trying to do in all of our lives. It's to remind us and to reveal to us and to overwhelm us with his grace. God is a gracious God. He is not an angry God. He is a gracious God who loves you. And so what I'd like to do is I want to pray for you, and I want to give you an opportunity to be prayed for. So here's the plan. If you have let circumstances block you from receiving God's grace, then we're going to pray for you. If you've been the cause of, you know, just feeling like you need to get right with God and to experience his grace again, then we're going to pray for you. So here's what we're going to do. If that's you, I want to ask you to stand up where you are so that I can pray for you right now. So go ahead. Yeah, amen. A disproportionate amount of sinners on this side. What's going on over here? Anybody else? I just hate saying these words when you're talking about grace, but last chance. Anybody else before I pray? All right, let me pray for those of you that are standing. Father, I want to just thank you so much for these that have had the courage to stand. And whether, Lord, it's circumstances that are just blocking them, hurting them from receiving your grace. Lord, if that's the case, then I pray that even just that act of standing would be at the beginning of them hearing your voice saying to them, I love you. I'm not angry with you. These things are not happening because I'm mad at you. I'm for you and I'm not against you. Lord, maybe there are some that are standing simply because they realize, listen, they've allowed things into their lives that are blocking them from experiencing that freedom that comes from forgiveness and repentance. If that's the case, Lord, for some, then I pray that they would begin tonight to experience forgiveness. They would begin right now to again hear your voice saying, I forgive you, I love you, I am not mad at you, I poured out my wrath on my son on the cross, you are not my enemy, I love you. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would humble ourselves enough to be able to let your grace have a greater role in our lives. Because, Lord, there's not a good reason for you to love any one of us, but you do. And, Lord, we can blame the circumstances. We can even blame ourselves. But the reality is instead of blaming those things, Lord, tonight we want to stop and we want to say thank you because you've made a way possible. You've loved us with an everlasting love. You've forgiven us. You've given us an eternal hope. Lord, you've made us sons and daughters. We have an inheritance because of you. These are the things that cause our hearts to rejoice. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to pray for these who want more of your grace tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, man. That's great. Let's worship together.
Lost his dream. Amen.
In any work that God is going to do, vision plays a huge part in that. And there were certainly many visions that God was giving and is still giving for what he wants to do in Central and Eastern Europe. Greg Opin is a visionary, and I remember being in Hungary in 1993. We were in the in Northern Hungary. At that time, there were, I think, 3 Calvary Chapel Golgotha churches across the country, about 80, 85 people connected to the ministry there, and we were walking down the street, and Greg said, "Wouldn't it be amazing if we had a Bible college here in Hungary?" And my mind is thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if we had more people in the church? That's how carnal I was, yeah. And so he said, wouldn't it be amazing, you know, wouldn't this be a great... And he just kind of describes his vision for an Well, you know, not too many years after that time, the Lord gave us a Bible college. We have a tremendous Bible college in Eastern Europe. There's a picture of the place right there. Yeah. That Bible college... Yeah. That Bible college is now has sent out over 180 former students who are now full-time on the mission field to places like Kyrgyzstan, Iraq, Nigeria, Ethiopia, a whole bunch of other places a lot of people don't know anything about. And it's reaching the world, truly. It's truly reaching the world. Greg had another vision, and it was a vision for a gospel choir. And he would tell people this. He would say to everybody, "Oh, wouldn't it be amazing if we had a gospel choir?" And people would just kind of smile at Greg and say, uh-huh. But inside they were all saying, "That's the dumbest idea they've ever heard." The reason I'm telling you that is because, yes, we have a gospel choir today. And instead of me talking about it, our piano player here, Mark Zeman, is also the director of our gospel choir. I'd like him to share a few words about the choir.
12 years ago, I was teaching at a university in Arizona, teaching music piano, and I was a worship leader at a Baptist church. And I was headed home to South Africa, where I'm from. And Greg and Jennifer, my very good friends for many years, said, "Hey, Mark, why don't you stop off in Hungary and come visit us for a while?" So I stopped off there, and in the course of conversation, they said, "Mark, what about coming to work with us in the area of music?" I said, "Okay, that's interesting." I'd been feeling that year that there was a big change coming in my life. I wasn't quite sure what, and turned out to be this move to Hungary. So I said to Greg, "What will I be doing exactly?" And he said, "Well, I'm not sure. Let's just see what God has." So a couple months before I was to come over, I talked to him again. I said, "Greg, you've had a chance to think about it. What will I be doing?" And he said, "I don't know, Mark. Let's just see what the Lord has. Maybe doing piano worship concerts around Hungary and around Europe. Maybe helping out with the worship team, something like that." Then a couple of weeks before I moved, we were talking about my visa stuff. And he said, "Hey, Mark, Jennifer and I have been talking. We think it would be great if you started a gospel choir." And I said, "That's a strange idea, Greg." I said, "First of all, I'm a piano player. I'm not a choir director. And besides, I've always thought that choir directors are kind of, you know, geeky." And so he said, no, let's just see what we can do." But I arrived and we made 2 announcements, Sunday morning and a Wednesday night. And the following Tuesday, 55 people showed up to the first practice. And I said, "Okay, maybe something's going to work here." And I remember talking to Mike Payne, our worship leader, and he said, "Hey, why don't we just do a couple of songs for Christmas and then see what happens?" And that was 11 years ago. And the choir now is 160 strong. And we go to places all over Hungary. We go to countries all around Hungary. But the most exciting thing to me is this. When we first started, we did something that the Hungarians found a little bit strange. We allowed anybody to join the choir with no auditions. Now, you've heard these wonderful musicians behind me. Everything in Hungary is auditioned. So they said, "Mark, but what happens if somebody can't sing?" And they join the choir. I said, "That's okay. That'll make me and them." And so we let people come in. And then we said, anybody can come in even if they are not Christian. Now, in Hungary, gospel music is appreciated much like jazz, a style like jazz, where they will go to a concert, not because it's Christian, but because of the gospel style, the joyous gospel style. So we would let in non-Christians over the years, and these non-Christians would start to sing the lyrics, they would start to talk to their friends, they would start to ask questions, and before you know it, they get saved. So in the choir, the Lord saw a way of getting people into the choir and getting them saved. That, to me, is the most exciting thing that happens in this choir. Now, we would have, of course, love to have brought them along with us, but it's hard enough to travel with 22 people, never mind 160, but maybe we can hook up with some of them in our sanctuary in Budapest, and maybe we can sing a song or two with them. Let's see. Oh, there they are. That's right. All right. Hello, choir. How are you guys? Would you like to sing for all these lovely people in Vista? All right. Okay. Now they're going to sing a well-known worship song. They're going to start off in Hungarian. So you can join in if your Hungarian's really good. Otherwise, you can wait for the English part, which will come in a little bit. So here we go. Nincs más Isten, which means no other God. Nálad lett volna a víz. And
nálad lett volna a víz. Ott akart életre híz. Nincs más Isten. Nincsen más. Te ragyogod be az ég. Te hozod el a remény. Nincs más.
Okay, now, like a real choir, we're going to ask you to stand. And you're going to join in. And guys, we're going to start out with the guys singing. Okay, so guys, even if you can't sing, do something. Here we go. Water, you turned into wine.
Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you.
Ladies, join in.
And into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Not like you.
Our God is greater. Together.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God is higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God, our
for
us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against?
Our God is greater.
Stronger, God, you are higher than any other.
You make a great choir with the Hungarian choir, and they're going to close off in Hungarian.
Beteget gyógyít az Úr, ma is. Te vagy az Isten, aki nevére leborul minden a földön, az égen. Színeket hódít, sebeket gyógyít az Úr, ma is.
Amen. Goodbye, choir. Goodbye, guys. Yep. With God's vision and God's spirit and by His grace, today there are 23 Calvary Chapel churches in Hungary. Yeah. 16 of those are pastored by Hungarian pastors now. There are 18 Calvary Chapels in the Ukraine. The majority of those are pastored by nationals. As well, there are churches in Romania, Slovenia, Slovakia, Moldova, and just about every country in Eastern and Central Europe. There's a work that God's doing. Because when He's going to do a story of grace, it's going to affect everybody around. That's how God likes to work. And when Mike and I were talking about and just kind of praying about it, should we do this trip? Should this thing happen? We were, you know, thinking like, what is our vision? What is it that we want to get to say? Obviously, if we're going to do this, we're going to make this investment. Let's make sure that we have a clear direction from the Lord on what we're doing. And we kind of felt like it came down to two things that we very specifically wanted to be able to say to every church that we get to go and to visit. The first one is this: it's thank you. Calvary Vista, specifically. Now, in some places, I'm saying churches like this, but specifically, Calvary Chapel Vista. You guys have been involved in the supporting of missionaries, in the supporting of missions, not only financially, but prayerfully, since literally day one. And so we would like to say thank you for that. Thank you, yeah. And of course, I want to point this out. It's really important that you know this. Mike and Marika Payne, this is their home church. You guys sent them out. And so, for the rest of us, we would like to say thank you for letting us have them. And no, you cannot have them back. Let's just say that, okay? So we're so thankful, truly. Not just for, there's a lot of churches involved, but you guys have been, you've persevered in what God has been doing in Eastern Europe. And so we are all really thankful. And we thought this was the coolest way we could come and thank you for your just consistency like that. The second reason is to reiterate what we've been saying this entire service, and that is this. This is our story of grace. But each one of us is a story of God's grace. And we want to exhort you, really exhort you, to let God make your life a story of His grace. Let's not just hear other people's stories. That's not what God's trying to do tonight. We didn't come here to tell you, wow, everything is so great. We came here to say, if God could do this with us, I can promise you He could do that with you. And doesn't the world just need a touch of God's grace right now? So we exhort you to let God make you a story of His grace. We have, outside of here in the lobby area, we have a book and a CD that is available to you if you are interested. You can see them on the screens. The CD, have you guys been enjoying the music tonight? Yeah. These guys are amazing. Unbelievable. And they just love the Lord even more than they can play good music. So it's unbelievable to be here with them. The CD is called Chords of Grace, and it's the music that you've heard tonight and many more songs that we didn't have time to do. We want to encourage you to pick one up. As well, we have a book. It's called A Story of Grace, Beyond the Iron Curtain. And we take a bit of what you heard tonight, we expand upon that in this book. And we know both of these things will be a huge blessing to you. So we're asking you to consider, or not even to consider, just go buy one afterwards, okay? Forget consider, it's done. Do it, okay? Just go and buy, you got one. Good, yeah, that, see, you see, that's what it looks like. You just buy it, okay? It's kind of funny because we're telling everybody everywhere, please buy them because we don't know how to get them back to Hungary. There's the most desperate pitch you've ever heard before, all right? So, but we know you'll be blessed by them. We know it won't. It's not a gimmick. We know you will love them, and we want to encourage you to do that. As well, the proceeds are going to be supporting not only the work that's happening across Eastern Europe, but even specifically just supporting this group on the journey that we're on this trip. So highly encourage you to pick those things up. And they're also, as I can see, they're available on Amazon and iTunes. So one final thing before we come to our end, and that is, it's you guys have been praying for us for many, 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 many years. So we would like the privilege of praying for you and for this church. So join me as we pray for you guys. Father, we want to thank you for Calvary Chapel Vista. We want to thank you for the absolute faithfulness of this church to not only financially support, which is so huge, but prayerfully support the works that are happening all over the world, but from our perspective, specifically in Eastern Europe. We're so thankful, God. And I know for Mike and Marika, this being their home, Lord, they're so, what a blessing it is to come back here and to be able to let them see, Lord, the great things that you're doing in Central and Eastern Europe. We pray your blessing upon this church. We pray that you would add to this church. We pray that this church would continue to be a story of grace, not only in its community, but throughout the world. And Lord, they're known throughout the world as a church that loves what you're doing all over. And they've invested themselves, and for that we're very grateful. So bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could we sing a little bit more for you? As long as you sing with us. So let's worship together.
I am a story of grace.
I am a story of grace.
I am a story of grace.
We are a story of grace.
And I am a story of grace. And I know that each one of these guys is a story of grace. And again, as we're coming to the end, we want to remind you that God wants to make you a story of grace. Let Him make you a story of His grace.
Such love, such love.
Well, can we do one more then? Uno más? Uno más. There I am, Spanish. One more? Yeah.
Solo to.
Amit ko nolo. Solo to. Two more, they said.
All right.
Hatsak, azagisa. Hatsak, azagisa. Azagisa. Azagisa.
Azagisa.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. We had so much fun playing with you guys tonight. Thanks for coming out. We want to encourage you to go to a website called thestoryofgrace.org. There's a button on there that says My Story. Would you tell us your story of God's grace in your life? As we've shared ours, we want to hear yours. So please do that. Thank you so much for coming, and God bless you guys. Rob, to you, or we're done. Have a great night. Books and CDs. God bless you.